Around the world, the Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. David Langford here today. We'd like to welcome everyone to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. Today is Tuesday, last day in January, January the 31st, 2023. I pray that your new year has been exceedingly blessed of the Lord. If you pray, read your Bible and fellowship with Christ, He will keep you on that straight and that narrow path. It is a path that Jesus said, few there be that find it. Few. Few. Think of that. Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Are you pursuing to do God's will? The blind man in the ninth chapter of the book of John, where they had the great discussion with his parents about who sinned, his mother, his father. Jesus said neither, but that the works of God might be made manifest. And the revelation that the blind man got was truly phenomenal. There in John chapter 9. It was really an astounding revelation in John 9:31. He said, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him God heareth. Let me give you two simple profundities here concerning your prayer life. You want your prayers answered? Be a worshiper of God and do God's will. That's just not hard to do, is it? But if you're not living right, you're, number one, not a true worshiper because you have sin in your life. A true worshiper of God lives a life as best they can through the Holy Spirit and Word of God, a clean life, and seeks to do God's will. And in so doing, the blind man said, him he heareth. So let me encourage everyone today to be a true worshiper. That's what Jesus told the woman at the well. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God wants true Holy Ghost spirit-filled worship given unto him. Not people whose lives are full of sin. See, that's not true spirit worship, because the spirit is sullied and soiled and tainted. Paul said, lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. If your hands have been being used to do things, let's say like what? Turn up a bottle of liquor with your hand, put a joint in your hand and smoke it, and, you know, just going to the internet and clicking on this and clicking on that that you know you shouldn't be watching, that nullifies pure heart and clean hands, does it not? But Paul admonished us in 1 Timothy 2:8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Pray everywhere. Some people are ashamed to pray and certain places. They're afraid it might embarrass them. If you live and walk with God, you're not ashamed, you're not embarrassed to pray, commune, fellowship with God, no matter where. Oh, that's why there's such a vast and such a great need for Holy Ghost Spirit-filled churches where the power of Almighty God can break out anytime when the Spirit of God begins to move. I pray today that you know Christ as Lord and as Savior. I want to play a song by Greater Vision entitled, I Know a Man Who Can. After Jesus healed the blind man there in John chapter 9, the Pharisees said, this man is a sinner. He cannot do that. Jesus is a sinner, they said. The blind man said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. But this one thing I do know, whereas I was blind, but now I see. You see, the blind man was a type of Israel as a nation. Blind. Jesus came to open the eyes of the blind, not necessarily physical, but spiritual. They couldn't even recognize by the great, great miracles. Jesus said, if you don't believe me because of the miracles that I do. Believe me. I'm glad. I don't have to have miracles to believe that Christ is the Son of God. And I pray that you too know Christ without having to see a miracle. The greatest miracle of all is the miracle of the new birth. Christ touching our lives, redeeming us, taking us from the kingdom of darkness, transforming us, putting us into the kingdom of light. That's what Christ does for his people. 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 13. Go ye inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. It is amazing the power of the Word of God. It is amazing to hear the Word of God. Many times God's Word appears to be ineffective in people's lives. Why? They're not hearing the spiritual part of the Word of God. They're hearing words, verbiage, consonant, vowels. They're hearing things, but they're not hearing the Spirit that is in the Word of God. Revelation 2:7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Jesus said in John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus was telling the many disciples that followed him, he said, the Spirit quickeneth. He's talking about the Holy Ghost. The flesh, the carnal man, profiteth nothing. Nothing. Your spirit is everything. When it's touched by the Spirit of God, your flesh remains nothing. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. What is he telling us? He's telling us that his word, the rhema, logos, the spoken, the written word, it is spirit. It is full of the Holy Ghost. The Word of God is full of the Holy Ghost of God. I want you to understand that. This is why when you read the Word, it quickeneth you. Psalms 119, verse 50, this is my comfort and my affliction, for thy Word hath quickened me. Quickened me. The Word, David said, it quickened me. Why? Because it is spirit and it is life. When Jesus stood before the tomb of Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. That is the most purest demonstration of spirit and of life in the Word of God. Jesus told Martha and Mary, John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus spoke the words at the tomb of Lazarus. And what happened? Lazarus came forth out of the tomb. His words were spirit. His words were life. John 11:26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now there he's not talking about physical death. Because if the Lord tarries, we'll all die, but we'll not die spiritually, none whatsoever. The believer just goes to sleep. Your body will just go to sleep, be placed in a cemetery plot. But what's going to happen on that resurrection day? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Ever be with the Lord. Jesus is going to shout. Remember John 5, 28, 29, he said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. The voice of God will call the righteous first out of the graves. 1,000 years later, he will call with his voice all the wicked in the graves, and they too will come forth. But their resurrection is not a resurrection unto eternal life. There is a resurrection unto eternal damnation and separation from God. When Jesus said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I'm not the God of the dead, there in Matthew 22, what's he telling them? What is Christ saying there? Is there some myth? Is there some mystery here? Some mystique here? What's he saying? He's saying what he said about Lazarus at his tomb. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Even though Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob died physical deaths and were buried, the inner man never died. They never ceased to exist. So Jesus said, I'm the God of the living. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was telling the Pharisees, which they probably didn't see. They probably didn't understand what he was saying, because they were blind. Their hearts were calloused. But he was telling them about eternal things. They were grappling. Josiah, when he heard the word of God, he recognized the gravity of the hour and the profuse violations of both Judah and Israel. Both Judah and Israel had forsaken Jehovah. They had gone after other gods. They had made pagan idols for themselves, and for the most part were living debased and debauched lives. They were living in sin. Some people live in sin. If you remain in your sin, Jesus said, and you die in your sin, you're eternally lost. You cannot die in sin. Sin will have lordship, dominion over you in eternity. That's not how you want to die. Let me share another translation here of verse 13 here in 2 Kings 22, 13. Here's what it says in the King James. Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me and for the people, and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. Here's another Hebrew translation. Go to the temple and speak to the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah. Inquire about the words written in this scroll that has been found. For the Lord's great anger is burning against us, because our ancestors have not obeyed the words in this scroll. We have not been doing everything it says we must do. This is the problem with the modern church. They are not in compliance. They are not in obedience to the word of Almighty God. Those of you who are dedicated, consecrated, separated followers of Christ, you know without any doubt. The church is in a backslidden, debased state. There are so many denominations, organizations that are just like Congress and the Senate, the White House, etc. The leadership is vile. The leadership is wicked. The leadership is sinful. Those who are in authority in Washington are thugs, pure bred thugs. As one man said, criminals are not born, they're made. They're made. You see, as well as I see, the profuse deterioration. It's terrible. How can you see it? How can I see it? And yet others do not see it because they do not live according to the Word of God. You know, there's a standard of weights and measurements. If a carton says it's 16 ounces in it, you should be able to take it, pour it out into another container, and measure it, and it should say 16 ounces, not 15, not 14, not 12, but 16. I stopped at a service station the other day and bought some diesel fuel. Young kid there with this trailer set up. I said, what you doing? Checking for accuracy? He said, yeah. I said, making sure I get a gallon of diesel for my dollar. He said, that's right. So they go by and they check it. Who's to say they're not cheating us? See, we live in a world that is a world filled with lies. And see, people seek means and methods to lie to trick every one of us, like our government. The stupidity, the asininity of wanting to remove the debt ceiling. Think of the idiocy of that. What if the government said, write all the checks you want from your checking account, whether you have any money or not. It don't matter. Just write the checks. We'll back them up. Your neighbor would be upset that you could do that, but they couldn't. Whoa. I have a budget. I can't just write checks after check after check after check. When these idiots in Washington are telling us right now, do away with the debt ceiling. This buffoon in South Carolina, Clyburn, said, I wish they'd do away with the debt ceiling. Are you stupid? You mean take off any restraints, any restrictions, any guards? It's like giving a 16-year-old child the keys to a 1,000-horsepower car and say, drive any way you want to drive. I promise you, in less than 90 days, the child will be dead because he is not qualified to drive a car with that kind of horsepower. You can't take limits off. You see, the Holy Ghost bridles us. The Holy Ghost restrains us. The Word of God bridles us. The Word of God restrains us and keeps us from doing things and getting out of our lane, getting out of our boundaries per se. And this is why lawlessness has exploded in America. If 300 people were dying every day to plane crashes, every day an airliner went down with 300 souls on the aircraft and they all died, and this went on for a year, what would you think about the FAA? You say, these people are insane. Where are the guidelines? Where are the boundaries? Where's the protection? Well, that's what's happening in America every day with fentanyl. 300 people are dying every day because of fentanyl, 100,000 people. Anytime a plane crashes, it is absolute disaster. And have all of these NSTB agents come in and they look at everything, finding out what in the world went wrong. Why? So that it doesn't happen again. Do we not recognize the Word of God today? Do we not recognize that we're living right now parts of the book of Revelation? I know some of you may disagree with that, and that's perfectly all right. Notice what the Bible said in Revelation 9 and 21. So this would be after the purported pre-tribulation rapture, wouldn't it? Revelation 9, 21, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, drugs, pharmaceutical drugs, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Let's see here. They repented not of their murders. Look at how people are able to murder today in the streets and get a free pass because of the liberal politicians, the liberal corrupt governments. Let the murderers go. They don't repent of it. The other day, the mayor of Washington, D.C., the young black lady, who's the mayor, was voted down 12 to 1, setting a limit of only 20 years in prison. No matter if you kill 1,000 people, your maximum sentence is just 20 years. They voted 12 to 1 to change the laws about crime. No matter what you do, if you rape 500 women, the max is 20 years. Kind of like you can steal anything you want under $1,000 and there's no prosecution. Things that are happening in the world right now are lining up with the book of Revelation, and the church is still here. They repented not of their fornication. Fornication is the greatest recreation in the lives of young people. Did you know that? Fornication is the greatest recreation among young people. Now, if you're naive enough to believe all these young people running around here, TikTok, all this other garbage stuff, that they're all practicing celibacy, man, don't fool yourself. Some of you listening to me did not practice celibacy. And it's far worse now than it was 50 years ago. Not only did they not repent of their murders, their sorcery, their drugs, their fornication, nor of their thefts. People just walk into stores and fill up their pants and their sweatshirts and their jerseys with product and just walk out. You see, the Bible is being fulfilled just exactly like God said it would be fulfilled. And he said they repented not. There's no remorse. How about the guy, I believe it's in Massachusetts or New Jersey, who murdered his wife? They can't find the body, but there were like 50 items on the internet. How do you dismember a body? How do you dispose of a body? How do you try to eliminate the rot, the odor of a dead body? I mean, but the guy didn't do anything. He just Googled all this stuff because he just wanted to know. The world, whether you believe it or not, has become insane. Insanity, spirit-filled conviction, is a thing of the past. You know, the ominous bill that was passed right before Christmas, ominous, that is Latin for something for everyone, the ominous bus. That's Latin for something for everyone. And then we saw the millions and billions of dollars for pork. Why would somebody, to show you the perversity and the pervertedness of America, would give a dove cocaine to see how the dove would act? You see, in the natural, the dove will not eat the leaf. So they have to somehow get this into the dove so they might ingest it. That's, you know, all this about animal cruelty, these people are lying hypocrites. A dove's not going to eat cocaine. A type of the Holy Spirit? This is the insanity. This is the barbarity of humanity. Running around, warping teenagers' minds, having their breasts of young ladies cut off, and then giving them replacement hormones to make them a manly stature. And these people say, this is okay. This is all right. We better awaken. Ephesians 5 and 14, wherefore he saith, awaketh thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Come out of the deadness of your sins and trespasses, and awaken to the truth of what's going on in a nation, America, your nation. I believe everything that's happening right now is for a reason. As Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, nothing happens in politics by chance. It was planned that way. Let's see here. They found documents on Trump. They found documents on Biden. Oh, they don't want either one of them running for president. So what are they going to do? Well, you trap them because you're a crook. You're a dishonest person. You trap them. And then you say, if you'll just go away, we won't prosecute you. See, that's the wicked destroying what is right. Now, I'm not talking about the man, either man's spirituality. I'm talking about in law. And guess what that would do? If Biden had to resign, oh, Kamala, she becomes president, doesn't she? Oh, she would then nominate her vice president and would need a majority vote from both houses for that person to be the newly elected vice president. I may share it here soon. I don't have it close by me, but William Branham, B-R-A-N-H-A-M, William Branham, gave a prophecy in 1933 that in the end time, and I noticed he used the word time singular, not times, end time. There would be a woman that would either become vice president or president, and she would be vulgar, and that the people would bow down literally and pay homage to her. Was it Willie Brown who made statements about Miss Harris, how she got to the top? I won't slander her as he did, but he said how she got to the top. This prophecy said this lady would be vulgar. You see, what most professing Christians do not realize, what has happened to them, they have become desensitized. You know, when I was a boy growing up and you watch Gunsmoke, bang, pow, you shoot him and he grabs his stomach. There's no blood, there's nothing. But through the years, the barbarity of it has gone off the scales. The gore, the guts, the blood. You know, and what happens over a period of time, you become desensitized to the horrificness of what that event is. You just think that's normal. I was at a flea market one day. My youngest brother and I, we were just walking around, you know, just burning sunshine, wasting time, walking around. And a guy walked up to this one lady. He said, "You got any videos on nothing but murder? I just want to see videos of murder." I thought, well, he embraces death without a doubt. That's what he asked for. The modesty in America is gone. Young ladies will walk out with shorts on shorter than their panties nearly. They don't feel bad about that, do they? You say, preacher, you're a little bit blunted today. Well, I probably need to get a little bit more blunted. But I'm getting letters from women writing me now and say, I wish somebody would say something. These young girls have no modesty today. You see, the Holy Ghost won't let you dress like that. And I'm not clothesline preaching today. I'm just telling you, the Holy Ghost, the Word of God says, you can't do that. You can't go there. You shouldn't look like that. Where is the abounding grace in our lives that deters that? Nearly naked. Does that not tell us something about our consciences? And today, people can just so easily, comfortably lie about any and everything. Just lie. They ask Hillary Clinton, did you wipe your server? You mean with a cloth? You see the arrogancy in that? Bleach bit, took hammers to them, the phones, SIM cards. Lying has become so easily for most people. And God bless his heart, Adrian Rogers. What a great, great man of God. But I read an article of his years, many years ago. I have never forgotten the statement he made. No man is more like the devil than when he lies. Boy, that spoke to my heart. No man, no woman is more like the devil than when they lie. Why? Because the devil, Jesus said, was a liar from the beginning. Now, when you read that in John 8:44, Jesus said to the Pharisees, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now that one verse of Scripture is so profound in that it is talking about pre-Adamite, pre-world, before the earth was. Well, how do we know that? Jesus said he was a murderer from the beginning. Now, when he said he was a murderer from the beginning, that's relative to Adam. Satan had already fallen. He became a murderous, fallen creature. He was a murderer from the beginning. Why? Because in his relationship with Eve and Adam, they were murdered in the essence that they died without God because he talked them into eating the forbidden fruit and their eyes were open. And then when he says there in verse 44, and abode not in the truth. Well, that tells me something. He once did abide in the truth, but he rebelled, according to Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28. He failed. So now he abode not in the truth. He did not continue to reside, to live and abide in the truth. Now that he does not live, abide, or abode in the truth, Jesus said, there's no truth in him. There's no truth in him. Now when he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He's a liar and the father of it. So when he said he was a murderer from the beginning, that's talking about humanity, Adam and Eve. In the very beginning, and only God knows when that was, 10 zillion years ago, when Elohim created Lucifer, Michael, Gabriel, those are the only three archangels that we see mentioned in the scriptures with clarity. He was in the truth. But then it says, and abode not in the truth. So he left his abode. He left his first estate. That's what the Bible said about the fallen angels in Jude verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. So they left their first estate, meaning they did not continue to abide or abode in the truth. Christians do the same thing. They abandon the truth. They forsake the truth. They turn to lies. They turn to fallacy. They turn to mendacities. That's why Jesus said to the Pharisees, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. You're doing this because I'm not your Lord. I'm not your Savior. My father's not your father. But they argued the point. They argued profusely. God is our father. He said it, actually they said Abraham. He said, if you were, Abraham were your father, you would obey me. Because Abraham obeyed me. Abraham kept my commandments. Abraham ordered his children to do the right thing. I look at that as a minuscule measure of denominationalism. Well, we have Abraham as our father. Abraham is our father. So they were basing their relationship with God on a man. He said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Abraham never sought to kill God, did he? But instead, he sought to follow God. So because the devil abode not in the truth, Jesus said, now there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, for he is a liar and the father of it. If you ask the devil right now what time it is, you know, if you ask the devil what time it is, East Coast 5-something here now, 5:40, whatever, what time is it? He'd lie to you and tell you it's 5:30 or it's 5:50. He wouldn't tell you it's 5:40. Why? There's no truth in him, Jesus said. He couldn't tell the truth if he wanted to because he never continued to abide or abode in the truth. So there is no truth in him. You know he's a liar. Some of you listening right now, he's lied to you even today. You're not saved. You're not a Christian. You're not doing right. You see, when he says those lies to you, that is the greatest indicator that you are saved. Because if he says you're not, say hallelujah, that means I am, because devil, you are a liar, and there is no truth in you whatsoever. If the devil says God has abandoned you and forsaken you, no big deal. Why? He's a liar. So God is truth, the opposite of a lie. A lie is a non-truth, the opposite from the truth. So whatever the devil says to you and you hear in your spirit, say, hey, praise God. He said, I'm not saved. That means I am saved. He says, the Lord's not with me. That means the Lord is with me. I mean, we're talking 180 degrees. Let me get back here quickly to Josiah. He said, we have not obeyed the words in this scroll. We've not been doing the things that we should be doing. And this is what brought about the Reformation. This is what brought about the transformation. This is why I cannot overly emphasize the necessity of prayer and the Word of God. There's no reason why the average Christian, and don't misunderstand me, you're not meriting, you're not earning something, but there's no reason Christians can't give God 30 minutes a day to private Bible reading, prayer, and worship. There's just no reason why we can't do that. There's no reason why we can't be committed to that. If you're spending 5 hours and 45 minutes a day, the average person spends 5 hours and 45 minutes a day on their phone. Why can't you give God just one-tenth of that, 50 minutes? Well, that wouldn't be right because it's 60 minutes an hour, but you know what I'm saying. Why can't we give God that? Because we're not in love with him. See, when you fall in love with Jesus, you love him, you want to honor him, you want to serve him, you want to magnify him, you want to be a blessing to him, you seek to do all the right things, you want to pray, you want to bathe your mind and spirit in the Word of God. You want to tithe. You want to give. You want to do all the right things. This is because you're right with God. There's a blessing in doing the right things. So prayer and the Word of God is the only thing that I see is left to help America and change the course of America. There needs to be national repentance in both the church and in America as a nation. And it needs to happen very quickly, very soon, or the night is going to fall on this nation. And then no man can work. Jesus said in John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. There's coming a time when we will not be able to do what we need to do. Today's the day of salvation. Harden not your heart as in the day of provocation, Paul said there in Hebrews chapter 3. Don't be like those rebellious Hebrews out there in the wilderness. Psalm 78:39, he remembered they were but flesh. A wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How oft did they grieve him in the desert and provoke him in the wilderness? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. How many people turned back, just like Lot's wife? I never fail to be amazed at that one short verse. I would say that's the second shortest verse in the Bible. When Jesus told us there in Luke 17:28, he said, remember Lot's wife. I can't even tell you the woman's name. I said 28:32, Luke 17:28. Remember Lot's wife. Three words, remember Lot's wife. The shortest verse is Jesus said, the Bible said Jesus wept. So as far as I'm concerned, I could be wrong. That's the next shortest verse, remember Lot's wife. And I can't even tell you the woman's name. I can't say Josiah. I can't say Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Ruth, Eve, Hannah. I can't even give you her name. But I'm told to tell you, you better remember her. You better remember that woman. Why? Because she lost her soul. She lost her soul. She disobeyed the one and only commandment that God gave Lot, his wife, and his two daughters. The commandment was, don't look back. Genesis 19:26 says, and she looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. She disobeyed God. She disobeyed God. By the way, that was before the law. I know some will say, well, that's Old Testament. Yeah, but it wasn't under the penalty of the law. Psalm 70:11 says, God is angry with the wicked every day. God was angry with her. Why? He said, don't look back. See, he was delivering her. He was saving her, but she got in her own way of being saved. You think you're going to blame people? Like the lady said to me one time, I invited her to church. She said, I wouldn't step foot in a church again the rest of my life. I said, why? She said, they're full of hypocrites. I said, come on, one more ain't going to make no difference. Yeah, she got mad at me. She got real mad at me. But I just told her the truth. One more hypocrite ain't going to make no difference. Why? Because we've all been a hypocrite at one time or another. Yeah. I won't sugarcoat it for nobody, even myself. We all at times knew we weren't where we needed to be. We were a little bit lukewarm, a little bit tepid, a little bit indifferent. But we were going to church and doing things and that Christians do, but we just weren't really living like we knew to live. So what does that make us at the end of the day? It makes us a hypocrite. So I told her, come on. One more ain't going to make no difference. I'd rather a hypocrite sit under the ministry where I have a chance to preach the word of God to them and they might change their ways. Well, see, that is an excuse from the devil to keep them from going to God's house or to keep many from saying, I'm going to be a devout Christian. You know, I hear it. All you money-hungry, grubbing preachers. Well, you can't say that about me because I don't ask for money, do I? But I get thrown into the bunch with them. You know, they're always saying things, trying to shake people down, this little piece of cloth or this little bottle of water or this miracle money or this miracle that. It's just trivial trinkets, amulets. Nothing to it. But it's a shakedown. But you know what? You got dishonest physicians. You have dishonest attorneys at law. I read an article the other day where a dentist was telling people they needed crowns. He's grinding their teeth off and crowning them. And people began to get suspicious. And he got caught. And he was filing like an extra $250,000 in insurance payments, giving people crowns who did not need them. So he's a crooked dentist. I mean, it's everywhere. You know, this was my grandma's car. It never got past 35 miles an hour and just drove it back and forth to church on Sunday. Yeah. My. When you look at the world through the lens of the Word of God, you see a whole lot that's wrong. If you don't look at the world through the lens of God's Word, you don't see much of anything wrong. But when you view the world through the lens of God's Word, you say, man, that's what Josiah said. Oh, my God. Our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. He said, we've been doing nothing right relative to God's Word. And the wrath of the Lord is kindled against us, getting ready to blister us. America will pay a heavy price because to whom much is given, much is required. To whom much is given, much is required. This nation has had so much, and yet look how wicked we are. Look at us. We are a wicked people. Our government, our governmental leaders, compromised, bought out, sold out. I said it months ago. I'm sure I said it on the Doug Hagman show 3, 4, 5 months ago. And I said, I can't prove it, Doug. They are laundering money in Ukraine. I said, I can't prove it. I have no proof whatsoever. But I know in my spirit. And lo and behold, I saw probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago the Ukrainian soldiers with an FTX patch on their shoulder. FTX? Yeah, that was your little Friedman bank boy with cryptocurrency who donated hundreds of millions of dollars to politicians and just billions of dollars. Well, guess what? They were laundering money through Ukraine coming back to the States. I mean, this is not rocket science. If you just listen to the Holy Ghost, and again, as I said, I am in no position to have the documentation, the numbers, or anything like that. But I know in my heart certain things. I know in my heart certain things. And that's what they were doing. All these senators, and I could rattle off names, that have been writing letters to Ukraine. Why are they so involved in Ukraine, folks? Why? It's about money and money laundering and things of that nature. It's corrupt. Corrupt. And all the billions of dollars. Did you see the other day where 5 consecutive audits, the Pentagon has been audited 5 consecutive times. They cannot account for $225 billion worth of equipment. They don't even know where it is. Well, I can probably tell you where $80 billion is. You left it in Afghanistan. See, that was all a trick. Biden left, gave it to China. You know, China does border that borderline. This is all by design. And I loathe, you know, this omnibus, there was $2 billion set for border security. $2 billion. But there was a caveat. It could not be for the use of protecting the border. It had to be assimilate the illegal immigrants coming in, housing them, feeding them, clothing them. $500 a night when they get to New York, the government pays to house them in motels in New York. $500 a night motel rooms. Some of the custodians and housekeepers there said, we're throwing out tons of food because they don't like it. They don't like our style of food. They want their Guatemalan or Brazilian, wherever they're from, that's the kind of food they want. And then you saw all the liquor bottles and all the beer bottles and all the beer crates, Corona, just piles of trash of liquor and beer. And you know who's paying for that? That's right, me and you. We're paying for all of that. Because the government doesn't care, and the fury of God is ratcheting up against the evil in this nation. Well, I'm telling you, when I tell you we are an evil people, you have no idea. We don't know how evil we are. But when I look at America and the world through the lens of God's Word, I see a different world than most people see, because I see it corrupt and evil. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful week. May God touch you and ever edify you and comfort you in the coming days. I'll see you next week in the Lord.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.